Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
Okay, so maybe you should just get used to me sounding tired, because I swear that just seems to be what I am lately. But anyway, so welcome to BYO Brilliant. And guess what? You can be brilliant. You are brilliant no matter how much sleep you get, no matter how tired you are. It doesn't even matter if you're sick. It doesn't matter if you're sick. You've lost a couple of legs or anything like that, you're totally fine. So, I'm just going to go ahead and start this show. This show today is the brilliance of stepping towards your fears. This is really important, folks, because most of us, the biggest barrier we're going to encounter in life is our fears. And I know there's a whole lot of cliches out there. The only thing to fear is fear itself. Very famous, you know, speech from, it was one of our presidents, and I've got his name on the tip of my tongue, but since I have a little bit of that sort of groggy, fogginess going on in my head, I can't think of his name just at the moment. That's okay. Nina, could you do me a favor? Listen, folks, I'm really sorry. I'm having problems with the studio stuff. If you're hearing a bunch
What's
of beeps
going on?
And all that, there's people trying
you
to
okay?
call in, and they're trying to call in, and it's causing problems. But I'm sorry, if you're trying to call in, please stop. Just give me a minute to do my stuff. And if you're trying to call in, call the 646 number, 727-2914. That's the number to call. Don't try to call me personally. That's causing me problems. Okay, Nina, you can go back. I'm sorry.
I'm here, folks.
Start all over. The brilliance of stepping towards your fears. Okay. Fear, yeah, it really is that cliche. You know, the only thing to fear is fear itself. There it is. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR. And I could hear him saying it because I've heard it a million times in my lifetime. There are wonderful ways to say it, and that is, fears are stories that we tell ourselves. That one is my favorite. And the reason that one is my favorite is because it's all trumped up fiction. Yes, there are things that we could do that could hurt us, possibly cost us our lives. But generally, those things aren't, I don't look at them as fear as probably just good common sense. And I don't believe in common sense. It's just good sense to think that maybe it's not a good idea to take a sharp curve in your car at 150 miles an hour. It might be detrimental to your health. Is that a fear? No, that's just a healthy understanding of physics and velocity and momentum, if you ask me. But Then again, I like physics, so probably wouldn't look at it that way. So, moving along. How do you deal with your fears? Probably the best way to deal with your fears, and that's why I call it taking a step, is to take just a step. And the first thing you've got to do with fear is you've got to acknowledge it. How many people do we know who act like something doesn't really bother them, it's not upsetting them, blah, 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 and you can see actively that they're shaking in their boots, so to speak. Either the way that they're, maybe they're sweating on their forehead, maybe they start to sound weird or sound like I sound right now. I'm not really sure. I'm going to give a good example of fear, and this is something that they say on psychologically as far as the top fears that hit people. One of the top fears that people have is public speaking. And, yes, I'm on the radio and I'm speaking sort of to the public, but that is, I still have this thing about stage fright. It's ridiculous, but I still run into it. I have tried to play the guitar, and it was a song that I knew like the back of my hand, and I restarted that song so many times. And guess who I was playing to? Bunch of campers. I was at camp counselor at a sixth grade camp, and those kids didn't probably know one way or another what the heck I was doing with my guitar, but I did have some friends who were in a professional band also in the audience, so it just messed with my head. And I think that fear is essentially that. It's something that messes with our head, and it tells us things that just aren't true. At the time, it was telling me that I couldn't play the guitar with a hill of beans, and or the other thing it was telling me is that my friends that were in a professional band were going to notice every single wrong pick or click of the strings, and they were the most supportive of everybody. They were just like, "You're fine, you're fine." And then, of course, that went to the tears, but that's not even the one that really scared me. So I'm going to show you all the things that I did as best as I can when I had to public speak. And I did something that I'm trying to explain to you all to try and do in your own lives. I took a step towards fear. I was picked by my union. I drove bus, and I was part of the union, and they had these conferences during the summer, and it was an all-women's conference to help women in unions become more productive in their unions and help their membership and all that. Well, one of the activities they did every single year was they had every woman in the entire conference do a 3-minute speech in front of the whole group, which I'm still surprised that women still signed up for it, because I guess I didn't really think the first time that I had to do it that it was really going to they were going to force me in front of everybody, but they did. And for some reason, they thought that I was kooky enough to come back as a facilitator. And when they were asking who's going to lead the how to make a bad speech, I decided to put myself out there. I took a step towards that fear because I realized that I had to face that fear. But psychologically, a lot of people equate public speaking to fears of dying. I know, right? So I'm trying to save myself from death. But I had this other side of the coin that there were all these women that were counting on me to help them to feel more comfortable in making a public speech, even if it is only 3 minutes. And so I went up. They had given me the material. You basically go in front of this whole group, and you do all the wrong things that you're supposed to do in a speech. you stare at one person and you talk to only them, or you're really intense, 1 minute talking really loud, the next minute you talk really low so nobody can hear you. All kinds of, you show all your nervousness, you drop all your papers, you do all the crazy things that people have done for eons because they're fearful of making the speech. Or they just, I don't know, but fear to me is the biggest barrier to public speaking. So I went up there and I was doing all the wrong things. But I was scared out of my wits. I was so fearful of the entire moment that I started to sweat on my forehead. I did the beads of sweat. It was just like, God, please get me off of this podium just any way you can. Have an earthquake, you know, send lightning to the building, start a fire, just get me out of here. And the people in the audience were all laughing and having a great time. And I was dying inside, but I was trying really hard to pretend like I was going to make it, that it was okay, because I knew I needed to lead this group of women to another level in their lives. So afterwards, and they, you know, gave me the standing ovation, I ran to the bathroom because I just thought I was probably in a drenched-soaked shirt, which I wasn't. But I still had sweat beads on my forehead. And this woman came in who was in the audience, and she said, God, you are so hilarious. It's just amazing how people can laugh at you when you're dying. Anyway, she said, I just thought that you were fabulous. And I said, she goes, how do you do that? How do you just get up there and you're just so natural? Said, honey, I was done. I was scared out of my wits. And she goes, well, sure didn't seem like it. I said, what part about the sweat beads on my forehead did you understand? And she said, oh, I just thought it was just all part of the act. So far, I can sort of almost cry at will, but I don't know how to sweat at will. I haven't done that yet. But, you know, you'd have to look into someone like my brother, the actor. I imagine actors can do almost anything on point. I'm not one of them. So I took a step. It was a big triumph for me because I wasn't so horrible that all the people at the conference were terrified of making the speech. The women figured that nobody could make a speech as bad as me. And they all did the speeches. They all did them beautifully. And I was crying at the end of watching them all give their speeches because I was so proud of them. And I could see that some part of my stepping towards my fear helped other people move beyond that. So if nothing else, you might want to take a good look at your fears and figure out just what part of them your fears might be preventing you from helping someone else move on to theirs. So fear, the only thing we have to fear is fear is us itself, and it's just a story we tell ourselves that we can't do something or that there's going to be this horrific, horrific ending at the other end of whatever it is we're choosing to do. One of the things that I do often when I'm faced with a situation that it literally sets up red flags for me is I tell myself that it's not my reality, that I'm going to either die or that if I'm getting ready to go out to my mailbox in the middle of the night, that if I hear something weird, sometimes my mind could think somebody could come out here and attack me at 2 in the morning. And as soon as that thought starts to go into my head, I quickly say, that is not my reality. Cancel that. That is not my reality. And it helps me, it stops me from just, indulging in a mistruth. It's not true. If somebody had tried to come at me Well, I got two big mouth furry babies that, well, they probably have a few things to say. So, you know, plus I also have faith. So I have things, I have armor to protect me, and I have my good sense. And I think that we all have, most of us have good sense. There are times that we do put ourselves in not the best situation, but that's, you know, it doesn't mean that the worst fearful thing we can think of is going to happen. And here's another thing that you should know. When you're having a bad day, I mean, yeah, days, they seem bad, but they're really just days. If you're having a day where it seems like the cat scratched you, and your sweetie, your wife, or your boyfriend, or your husband, I don't know, maybe they didn't put the toilet seat down, maybe they burnt your toast, or maybe they took the car and you were the one that needed it for some important thing for the job. Whatever it is that you feel like just sets your day on a collision course with all kinds of dark clouds and things like that, it tends to set us up for believing sort of negative things around the corner. And that little saying, what a difference a day makes, goes completely out the door, and we're thinking, yeah, what's coming next? And so we start worrying and we start becoming fearful. And here's the other side of that coin, seriously. Your fears can pull in all kinds of negative energies. Do you really want to bring more on top of the crappy day you think that you're having at any given time? Probably not a good idea. So everybody should develop something that snaps them out of that fear-mongering type thought process. And maybe you need to just put some music in. Maybe you should carry an iPod or pad or something, MP3 player, something, cassette player, CD player. I don't know. Maybe you need to develop a song that you can just start singing whenever you start, feeling yourself giving over to fear. Maybe you do a jig. I don't know. I really am not kidding around, even though I'm laughing through this here and there, and it's just one of my natural things to do. But fear is something it's a good idea for you to choose to control, because you're in charge of your life. If you're a young person, and when I say young, I'm saying somebody who's either pre-adult or teen or just shifting over into those new adult phases where people start looking at you and expecting you to pay taxes and all that kind of stuff, you probably have a little bit of rebellion going on in your mind. You don't really want anyone telling you what to do, because this is actually developmental stages where most human beings are trying to stand on their own two feet. And they want people to recognize them apart from their parents and their family and even their friends. So here's something for you to develop for your own self. This is what sets you up. Okay, I know that I'm going somewhere. Lord help me in the tangents. Start setting up your independence in terms of being independent of fear. Your fear is the same thing as all those teachers that forced you to do something you didn't want to do. Maybe you were in gym class and they made you climb that rope all the way to the ceiling, or they were really nasty about it. Or maybe you're playing field hockey and you're just a little bit stick challenged. I don't know. Whatever it is that you didn't like in high school, when there was some quote-unquote authority telling you what to do, forcing you to do something, whether it was your parents, whether it was an older sibling, Maybe It Was the Law. There's a bunch of songs for that, too. I Fought the Law and The Law Won. Are you going to let fear win in your life? Because if you think that fear isn't some kind of authority that you've drummed up to force you into actions you don't really want, you're seriously mistaken, because that's what fear does. It takes control of your life, and it's running the show. And I just can't afford to let fear do that. I had a list of fears that I was going to read and that I have had to go through, and I've had quite a few. I can think back to one I still have from when I was a kid, and it still gives me the creeps, and I have forced myself to do it, and that's those little slides that kids have that go in spirals down. Yeah, they're really fun, but I just could not get my head over the physics of how I stayed in track with the swirling slide. Yeah, I know physics, because that's where my mind was even back then. That doesn't seem physically possible. And even now, and even when I have babysat children and we would go down the slide, I would just have my eyes closed thinking, please don't let me go flying. I just kept thinking that somehow my speed was going to move beyond the the velocity of the curve or the momentum of the curve. So I don't take those slides, but it's one of those ones that I've carried through from childhood that I still need to step towards. What's going on in your life that you need to step towards and conquer it? You know, what's controlling your life right now? Does it have something to do with school? Does it have something to do with going to school, whether you should or shouldn't? Maybe it has to do with the relationship. Maybe you're feeling a whole lot of fear about either being in a relationship or getting out of a toxic one. And ultimately, you know who has to matter more than any of this? You have to matter. You have to matter more. I suggest that the brilliance that is deep within you is pushing you to move past your fears. Without anybody else telling you, without your family, your friends, your lovers, your sweethearts, your dogs. No matter what they say, your brilliance is trying to tell you, you can get past this, you can do this. I'm going to give you some of the steps that I have found online, and there's a lot of them out there online. Most of what I bring up online, and one of the reasons I do that is because I want you to be able to have access to whatever it is I'm talking about. And if it is somewhere else, if I read it in a book or something like that, then normally I would let you know. But there's a website, it's called Think Simple Now, and they talk about three keys to overcoming fear. And I'll read some more because this is just really basic bones. They tell you to start out with an accurate perception. Okay. Using the examples that I use, I think that with public speaking, the fear of it, if you break it down, depending on who you are, is very different from one person to the next. One of the people that I was counseling to get them to do this speech was, I did privately, she stuttered. And she stuttered pretty bad. And while we were in sessions, there was a woman that would finish her sentence every single time she'd try to speak. And finally, towards the end of that session, she stopped raising her hand, and she stopped speaking. And after everyone cleared the room, I was trying to speak to her just personally and just let her know. It's okay to tell people that you can say whatever it is you need to say on your own, and you don't need anybody else to help you say it. And because we all deserve whatever time we deserve to listen to someone and be heard, that it's all right for people to have to wait. I mean, we were all there for a conference. It's not like we were all heading out to have dinner somewhere with our family or to do the laundry. And so when it came to the speech, she was just terrified. And I said, just think of something you're most passionate about. And I said, I don't care what it is. If it's your children, if it's your husband, if it's your work in the union, you know, maybe it's something that you do well, like macrame or crochet or whatever. Make a souffle that's to die for. Just think about what you're most passionate about, and that's what you talk about. Because before you even get a chance to even get to, you know, all the tenets about making it or doing it, your 3 minutes are going to be up. And I'll be daggone, that woman got up there. God, I get so emotional. Okay, she got up there and she did her speech, and she didn't stutter once. She didn't stutter once. And she was, from what I could tell, the most terrified of doing it. And when she came back to the audience, she was just beaming that she did that. I was just blown away. And she decided that it was her right to be hurt. I think that her fear was that she was taking up people's time, because her stuttering would take up a little bit more time than probably the average person says something. Although, hey, let's face it, there are people who take a lot of time to say a whole lot of nothing, and they ain't stuttering one bit. Okay, so a year later, when I saw this woman again, if she didn't do what I did, but she was in a different union, it turns out that experience just spurred her on, and she became the president of her union. And her union only had, like, 10% women. The rest of them were good old boys. And they all voted her in because of the speeches that she made. Now, if that ain't a triumph, I think we can all do that. Now, me, what did my fear for public speaking have to do? I kept thinking about things like they're going to realize that my hair is out of place on the left back quadrant of my head, or they're going to realize that I have like a couple of holes on the hem of my right pants leg. The things that I was thinking about had nothing to do with the way that I delivered my speech. They had to do with all this extraneous, ridiculous stuff, because I always felt like I still tend to have clothes that are a little more early slob, and while I'm sort of comfortable with it, I think that most people look at clothing a little bit differently. So that was my fear. The other women in that conference, maybe their fear had something to do with somebody telling them they're worthless, or maybe it had something to do with their inability to read off of a card as well, because their eyesight may not be as good as they like it to be. It could be the same situation, and it's different for everybody. But once you develop an accurate perception of what your fear is, then it's easier for you to attack it. It's easier for you to alleviate it. Okay, the next thing that they talk about is to believe in yourself. Yeah. I know that it may not be obvious to everybody in the world, and which is one of the reasons why I do this show, BYO Brilliance, is that they forget that there's nobody in the world that can do you. We all know there's people out there who imitate someone, or they try to dress like someone, or, let's see, I was reading today, some nut out there is getting plastic surgery so that they could look like Jennifer Lawrence. There's a woman who's so mentally gone. She has gone out and had surgery after surgery to make herself look like a Barbie doll. She has ruined her physical appearance for some really twisted thought process. I would say she has body dysmorphic disorder, and unfortunately, whoever she went to for that surgery did not send her to the proper, through the proper channels to make sure that she had the right capability to even handle that. But my point is this. There's nobody on this earth that can ever do you. Nobody. There's only one you. There's only one you throughout the centuries. Even if you believe in reincarnation, you're still not reincarnated after the exact same person in the exact same situation. You might even have parents that look like the one you from some previous incarnation. It just doesn't happen. It's like the grains of sand on this earth. You know, which one is exactly alike? We're not talking about a four-leaf clover, because you can find those, but you're not going to be able to find a grain of sand that's exactly like another grain of sand. And I dare say, I doubt anybody's tried. And you are even more unique than that. I can't even think about how many grains of sand there are on this earth. So how is it that you can't believe in the one person that can do you, the one person that the whole world counts on to give what it is that you give? And you don't have to be president of the United States or prime minister of a country or queen of a country or a region, whatever, or king or whatever. You don't have to be the biggest superstar, but you do need to be you. I don't know how you can get around it. Even the Barbie doll surgery sick woman, she's a sick woman, there's only her. Even if somebody else tries to do Barbie, they still can't do her because her body structure can't be changed for that. So believe in yourself. That might be hard for you to think about or wrap your mind around about, but if you start with the fact that nobody else can do you, and that's one of the reasons people buy diamonds, because they're so rare. You're more rare than any diamond that has ever been out there. And that ought to make you think about just how much you're really worth. No matter whether you have holes in your hem, like I frequently do, or in your socks or something, or whether you stutter or don't stutter, whether you have beads of sweat when you're forced into some horrific situation that makes you feel fearful, or you're me, you're just whoever you are one of the greatest treasures that will ever exist. And quite honestly, there's no truer statement than that I can think of on this earth at any given time, ever. It looks like we have a caller. I'm not sure if they want to speak. If they want to speak, then I'll let them speak. And that reminds me, folks, I apologize. I always forget to give the number. The number is 666, and it's 727, and it's 2914. We're talking about the brilliance of stepping towards your fears. And if you'd like to join us, call in. You got something to say, call in and say it, because nobody can say what you say no matter what. It's always different. Hello, caller. I think I know who this is.
You do.
That'd be Lydia. Oh, okay. Would you like to join us? Did you have something to say?
Oh, I just started listening. I was longer at my task than I thought, and I let the time go by. But I'm enjoying the show, and you know this is one of my favorite topics.
Yeah. Loving your, oh, especially this part, believe in yourself, love yourself. What do you think, okay, since you're, this is Time to Love Lydia Pellow, so why don't you, you know, just say something about believing in yourself? Think you could give us a quick little, or non-quick, whatever you choose, about that?
Well, I just think that, you know, that's where it starts with, and, you know, I devote a whole show to loving yourself and to realizing, having faith in yourself. And I don't know why, I think as a baby, we think we're it, which we are. And then some along the way, you know, we're told we're not it, you know, we're made to feel wrong and not, you know, not perfect like we thought, although I'm, you know, perfect is highly overrated. And, you know, it wears on you, and you start believing things that are not that true. You start comparing yourself. Maybe there's someone in your school that's very popular, and you think she's very pretty. If you talk to her too long, she'd pick herself apart, like girls usually do. But I just think that, you know, then we start comparing. Maybe your bone structure is different than theirs, and you've got bigger hips, so you want to be like that person who has no hips, and you'll never be that way. You know, when I was a young girl, my very first boyfriend, God bless him, I was saying something about losing weight, and I was skinny. Oh, my God. I was right around 100 pounds, 105 was the most I ever got. And I said something about being fat, and he's like, he wasn't very complimentary, but he's like, you're not fat. He's like, you got big hips, but you'll always have big hips, and, you know, nothing wrong with that, you know. And it was another way of looking at myself. Of course, at that time, I kind of discounted him and what he said, which was, you know, silly. But, you know, it took me years later to see how wise he was. And
a blessing in itself to find some guy in high school who's giving you a better truth.
Mm-hmm. He didn't give me many of those, but he did give me at least one.
You know, just about body, because, yes, a lot of women, you know, start into their disassociation of their body being okay. Yeah.
Right. Right. So I just think, you know, we start out feeling like we're the end-all, be-all, we're the great. You know, when a baby smiles, that baby knows everything is about him or her, and they're wonderful. And then we lose that along the way. And, you know, it can be society. It can be even parents. Parents can say the cruelest things. And mostly they say it because it was said to them. So I'm not holding parents, since I am one, you know, completely at fault. But teachers, they can, you know, they can just tear you down. You know, they can give you an F in art. There should never be any Fs in art. I think if you do what you're supposed to, I think that, you know, because that's a judgment call. And the people who told me I wasn't that great at art were nuns who probably never took an art class at all, you know? I believed that for a while until I realized that, you know, anybody can be an artist, and I am an artist. So, you know, it's very important to believe in yourself, to believe that you're beautiful, that you're wonderful, because the truth is you are.
Yes. Well, ZenHabits.net, they did a little thing about a guide to beating the fears that are holding you back. And this person said that they asked their friends what what fear is holding them back. And here's the list, and I think everyone could possibly relate to something on this list. The friends, the main things that they said were failure. Their fear of failure holds them back. Their fear of abandonment and rejection. The fear of intimacy. The fear of success. And doesn't that just crack you up that failure and success are both there? And being broke, having absolutely no money. And the other, the big, big one is not being good enough. These are all parts of fear that may be looming more than other issues in your life. And that's the part, as they were saying on thinksimplenow.com, in trying to connect with what the fear is all about, you know, the real accurate perception of what that fear is coming from. This whole thing about abandonment issues, rejection, I'm not sure if that starts with a parent or an instructor. It could be just other children. It could be a sibling. If you have come up...
Or perception. Or perception. Because as a baby, you know, when your mother leaves, say she has to go take care of an ailing parent, and she's gone for several days, I think you can easily have the thought and the idea that she's gone, you know, that she's never coming back, you know,
right.
And, or you can have that feeling, that deep sadness, and, you know, and it can carry over.
Right. I had a friend from my early years of college, and she was the youngest in her family. There was four of them, I believe. Yeah, there was four of them. And she because she was the youngest, she was much younger than the first older ones, but close enough that they would come do things together. But where her rejection started coming in is when the older two would do things together, and then the next youngest person would kind of hang out with her. But as soon as the oldest was gone, then the second oldest would hang out with the one next to her. And then all of a sudden, she was the one that was sort of cast out. You know, that's when they'd say, oh, you're too young to go do this. And she just really had major issues about that. And what's interesting, because I remember, my sweetie said once when we were considering children way, 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 way back, he was saying, oh, yeah, we should have two children so that one isn't lonely. And I'm thinking, what, are they going to be like, you know, twins or something? And then he goes, well, actually, it's probably better to have three just in case the two kind of have a falling out. And he had us all the way up to four kids, and I'm thinking, you nutball. I mean, that can happen no matter what's going on. One of my best friends, she's an only child, and her mom was a real volunteer and community activist, and so she felt like she was abandoned all the time. Her father died when she was young, and her mom was always off working to help them survive or doing things to help society. So, yeah, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. But here's where it's a good idea for you to start seeking out what that was all about, or at least reframe what was
right.
happening so that it works in your mind. My mom was doing a great thing, and she wasn't abandoning me. She was trying to make the world better for me and my kids.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, everything that everybody else does is not necessarily meant to harm us. But if we can sort of reframe our perspective and just understand that other people outside of us do have other things to do besides be with us, which, like, how is that possible? Because we're still, like, in that little baby mold. Like, I'm the cutest, chubbiest Yeah. There's nothing else but me. I'm the baby. So,
well, you know, that fear of failure leads directly to failure. The fear of it, it's a direct correlation in that, you know, you're fearing it, and so you've already failed because you won't even try it. I do have a good quote from Bruce Lee.
Oh, yes, that's a brilliant quote, I bet you. Go ahead.
Okay. Dear, don't fear failure. Not failure, but low aim is the crime. In great attempts, it is glorious even to fail.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to do the one about the water, but that's excellent. That is excellent. When I was in high school... Yeah, when I was in high school, she was a senior and I was still a sophomore, and she was just gorgeous. She was the quote-unquote all-American gorgeous, blue-eyed, really shiny, bright, blonde hair. She always had perfect skin. It seemed like, you know, who knows what she went through at home, but I never even saw makeup on her, and her face always looked like a fresh peach, just gorgeous. And she was always smiling. She was always smiling. Of course, she was our student body president. She did everything. And when she signed my annual, she said, "Reach for the moon, Brenda." She goes, "Because then you will most likely at least reach the stars." And I think that's a lot like what Bruce Lee was saying. It's like, you know, go for the most incredible thing that you can imagine in your life. And fear be damned, you know, maybe you can say that it's not my reality, you know, cancel that when the fears rise up like I do. Or maybe you'll adopt something like, fear does not control me.
Mm-hmm.
And I refuse to be chained by essentially a fictional entity's control of you. Just refuse to give that over. And so whenever you feel yourself fearful of something, that is probably the best time for you to step towards it. For instance, let's come up with some scenarios like having to tell your parents that you're pregnant and your parents have been, you know, priming you to go to Harvard and become the next president or something. You know, it's best for you to just step towards that fear because once you've let it out, it's like, yeah, I'm pregnant. They're like the movie Juno. It's like once you just step up to it and then here it is and here's what I think, then it's already outside of you. It's not inside you festering and causing some other problems or some kind of ailment. Yeah, I say kick fear's ass. That's what I say. Every chance you get, you know, get brutal with it. Even if you have to yell at it out loud, I wouldn't lock you up, and I'll be a psychiatrist. I mean, psychologist. I would love it if people would just express their disdain for something that's trying to control and hold them back. But
I've got one more quote I want to tell you. It was on my refrigerator, and I don't know what happened to it. Maybe I gave it to someone. It was a little magnet. And I got it after I ran a 10K, And the quote is, "Woohoo! I did the thing I feared the most. Excuse me while I cheer. And here I stand a stronger soul. And all I lost was fear."
Oh, that's a great one. That's excellent.
I don't know if you did it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, lose the fear. You know, gain your life. Gain your power. It really is about empowerment. I'll give you the last step that was on Simple, Think Simple Now. The last step, they said, or the last key, is to surrender the outcome. Now, that's sort of what was happening when I say, you know, if you're pregnant and you've got to tell somebody, just tell them. You know, the reality is the only thing we really have control over is ourselves, really. So even if you think you can force somebody to do something, whether you're a parent trying to force your kid to go to school or force your kid to do the dishes, you really don't have control over them. They may do what you ask of them, but it's not going to be the same as when they choose to do it on their own. And forcing them to do it instead of actually gaining the attributes that you are hoping when you force them into something, they might be gaining something else, which is hatred or resentment or some other dark feeling. So stop being attached to the outcome. Stop trying to control forces outside yourself. It never works out. From the physics point of view, it really is sort of impossible. Even the things that, you know, if you put your energy into it and you make it happen, I'm not talking about manifestation. Manifestation of something is energy that you're controlling for your own self. You controlling for someone else, the reason it doesn't work is because that other someone else is also manifesting things in their own life. And interacting with that in a way where you're going to now take charge of their direction is most likely going to send both of you onto a really negative collision course. So let's just surrender the outcome, step towards your fear, own whatever it is that you're fearing. You know, figure out what it is that's really at the crux of why you don't want to do something or you're fearful that something may or may not happen. Figure out what it is you're really fearful of. And that's really the key. And then understand who you are and love yourself, remain with your own brilliance, and then you make the decision on where you're going. And most times when you surrender your outcome, you're going to end up someplace so much more brilliant than you ever thought you could be. I'm sure we all have a million stories about that. But we're getting really close towards the end of time, so we're probably going to need to wrap some of this out because I'd like you all to know what's coming up for us with the shows for the radio, the Essence A Success Radio Network, all female network. So maybe we could go ahead and get started with that, just so that we don't run out of time. We're always running out of time. I'm always running out of time. Maybe it's not we, it's just me. So next week, folks, this show's actually going to be The Brilliance of Stillness. I know that sounds strange, but it has to do with getting into the quiet and the stillness, the peace that is within you. You may have forgotten that it exists. You may have locked it away in a little dark room, or maybe you got to go on a big giant journey to find it, like an odyssey or a hobbit journey or something, but it's there. And it's a really, you talk about Lydia's tool chest, it's really a great tool to assist you in your life for loving yourself, loving other people, but mostly loving yourself. If you have not sat in a room with just quiet, no music, no TV, no talking, and just spent even 10, 15 minutes with you, and I don't mean because you just have nothing better to do, you're bored, and you're a boring person. I mean, this is just you connecting with yourself. Then you're seriously shorting yourself, one of the miraculous benefits of the universe. Because there's a whole lot that the universe can say to you in those peaceful, serene, still moments. So we're going to talk about that next week, the brilliance of stillness. And tomorrow, what's coming up on Wednesday? We have the free psychic show with Linus, and that starts at 3 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, 4 p.m. Mountain Daylight Time, and 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So that's tomorrow. That would be April 2nd, free psychic show with Linus. On Thursday, I'll meet you back here at 4 p.m., and that will be April 3rd on Thursday, and we're going to be talking about Prometheus Filmcology. We are wrapping up the Alien series, which has been, I just thank all the people who have contributed to that. It's been fabulous. And we're wrapping it up with the prequel to the whole series that came out much later, and that's called Prometheus. So 4 p.m. PDT, 5 p.m. MDT, and 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Friday, we're going to have Linus come in and do Traffic Jam Fridays. And she's basically playing 30 minutes of music to get you into the mood to start your weekend off right. Sometimes it's fun and kooky. Sometimes it's really smooth and R&B, speckled with country and old school, all kinds of things. She always has some kind of lineup that's really fun and interesting, and you can call in and put a shout-out to your sweetie, your friends, whoever, and just say, I'd like you to dedicate the next song to da-da-da-da. She'll do that for you. So that's Friday at 3 p.m. PDT for MDT, Master's Time, and 6 Eastern, right? Yeah, Eastern PDT Time. And then we slide on into the end of the week with Lydia and Time to Love.
Yep, Time to Love on Saturdays at 3 o'clock. We'll start with the Pacific Coast. 2 o'clock, the Pacific Coast, and 3 o'clock in the mountains here where I am in beautiful Colorado, and that's Mountain Standard Time, and then you know the rest. We're going to be talking about creativity, and I'm in the middle of creating lots of pottery right now, and I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to talk. Maybe I'll talk about my process. I don't know, but it'll all be about loving yourself more.
Well, let me ask you this question. So with loving yourself, the creativity, that does it fuel the love, or does the love fuel the creativity?
Both. Great question. Both.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going to do. And then that's what I have, folks, as far as in the studio with Linus on Sunday. The start of next week, just, tune in to this same link, and you'll find out what's up for Sunday. I cannot remember at the moment. So anyway, join us again next week, folks. Thank you for calling in, listening. However, big shout out to Dr. K. I'm proud of you, and stay on the path. These shows are pointing out, Dr. K, how much we need you out there. Hurry up. Get out in the world and do some counseling. All right, everybody. Love you. Thank you, Nina, for manning the chat room. And anybody else who was in the chat room, I'm sorry I didn't see you. I was busy. So, but thank you for popping in there. Okay.
Good show.
Brilliant.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.